B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray, John Wallach here in studio on a little bit of a postmortem of the Bruins yesterday. But Joe and in particular John, I have figured out once again the true reason.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray, John Wallach here in studio on a little bit of a postmortem of the Bruins yesterday. But Joe and in particular John, I have figured out once again the true reason why the Bruins weren't able to pull it off this year. I mean, really, against what everyone figured that this was a team of destiny. I mean, we saw how they were playing during the regular season. You know, they were 6 points ahead of anybody else. They were right in there. They had the best line. I mean, Pastrnak was one of the best scorer, the best scorer in the game. You had the best goalie tandem. There was no reason that they shouldn't have gone further than they did. But then I remembered something, John.
I think I know where we're going with this.
You know why they lost.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun. Star of Nessun.
Everything is awesome.
Get the duck balls ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Backhander, Kenevich, St. Thomas, rebound score. Joel Ward on the follow-up hit. Wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season. Yeah.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Yeah. Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide to the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
The Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
Shoots, they score! Victor Hedman wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
A high production value. We added on. We can keep adding on to this. This is great.
Listen, the facts don't lie. You have, when you've got, of course, Catherine Tappan behind the desk over there at Nessun, this team's killing it. I mean, they end up winning a cup. We remember we're standing on her with the duck boats, and hey, what's up, Catherine Tappan? And the minute they remove her, or they don't remove her, she moved up in the world, and she ended up going to, of course, NBC Sports. But the minute she leaves and they put in Dale Arnold, everything goes to hell. It is the curse of Dale Arnold. And while he is there, they will continue to lose. And I try to convince myself at the beginning of every season that it's different, that the curse does not exist. But I present to you in pre-produced packaging form for the last minute and 3 seconds, that's all the evidence you need. The curse is real. Dude, it's worse than the Madden curse. Like, this thing hits more than the Madden curse does. It's the curse of Dale Arnold.
You know what? You know what? And it, the curse is so powerful. Catherine Tappan was on the desk for NBC Sports last night for the game, and it still didn't help.
No. You can't just like try to mix the two. That's like evil magic versus good magic. You know, listen, Voldemort's going to win every once in a while. And that's what apparently happened here. Voldemort. All right?
Yeah, I love blaming Dale. I mean, we have the wrangle when it comes to officiating, and then it's the curse of Dale.
So this is the dangle.
This could be the dangle.
It's the dangle. It's the Dale angle.
This could be the Dale angle, if you'd like. But if we want to pile on Dale, I'm in. Let's do it.
Dan just said, John's been sitting on that one for years, the dangle. Oh, God.
You know, hey, Tuca Rouse.
Patting myself on the back for that.
Supposedly
that
Dale's writing a book with Tuca. It's all Dale's fault. That's why Tuca went home. It's his fault.
I agree. I think Dale actually, you know how he just said, hey, I got a text. I think it was because he texted him at one point and said, dude, you got to leave.
Dude, you should go home.
I need a final chapter for my book that's going to sell it. You know, come on. Yes. Let's add like a twist at the end. I mean, you can't just like end it with like, yep, and he was a good goalie. No. Uh-huh. There's got to be some sort of controversy. So Dale's behind all of it. He's
I have a little twist to this series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it? The sheriff.
Yes, of course.
That's why Billy Jaffe was so far away, you know, on Nessun. He wanted nothing to do with the Dale angle or the curse of Dale.
It's like a cursed coronavirus almost. You know, it's like he's always been 6 feet away. And it's not because he wasn't going to get sick. It's because he didn't want to get any of that stink of the curse of Dale Arnold.
That's true. He always stood across the shot from Dale. He's never on the same side. It's a good point.
No, he's super far away.
Even like before COVID, Jaffe was always on the other side of the screen.
He's been in like a green screen hell over there. It's just stay away. Dale walks in the room and the lights like flick. He gets a hot pocket and all he has to do is touch it with his finger and all of a sudden.
Dale was in the building for game 7 last year. I blame that as well. You know, he was in the building the same time the cup was there, and Lord Stanley was like, nope, not happening.
No.
I'm going over to this locker room.
Oh, man. God, this
when
just
worlds
sucks.
Collide.
Yeah, that's right.
This is just awful. The only thing I can really hang my hat. All right, hang on. Let's go to Phil. Phil on line one. Phil, you're on the show.
Rich, God bless you for giving attention to this. And still people don't take it seriously. The other two guys in your studio are laughing. Hey, this is funny. It's a curse. It's like the curse of the Bambino. And I realized something. I've been calling since 2013, Rich. You know, I beat a dead horse. PhilVincent.com. You know me.
Phil Vincent, now, you're the shredder. Hang on.
Yeah,
you're
I'm the shredder.
Hey!
I'd like to shred Dale Arnold right now. I said, I don't want Dale to lose his job. Just put him on another team. Put him on the Red Sox. And then they said, wait a minute. Who owns Ness? The Red Sox, right? They're not going to put the curse on their own team. They're going to leave him on the Bruins.
Right.
How long do we have to endure this pain, Rich?
Phil.
How much more evidence do people need?
Dude, I just compile. You're exactly right, Phil.
Know.
You and I are on the same page here. Absolutely.
Yeah, Joe Murray is laughing his head off like, oh.
Yeah, because I don't like that. He's talking trash about me.
I'm laughing too, man.
You know what, He's saying you don't take it seriously. Phil is saying, you know, this is not to be mocked.
No, Phil. You know what I want? I want you to go make a metal album about Dale. I want you to write songs about Dale.
Actually, you know what, Phil?
Nobody's going to buy it, Joe.
Jesus. Wow. Phil, if you could make, listen, you are a metal master. You can shred more than anybody.
We play
your theme. You are literally one of the better guitarists I've ever heard. Like, you're really good. There's no one better to make a end the Dale Arnold curse theme song than you. I think that if you could make something and send it to us, maybe, just maybe, that would be like, you know, when songs are used by armies and it becomes like the voice of a revolution.
Is that what you want?
Yes, a rallying cry. That's what I want, okay. Phil Vincent, shredder extraordinaire. All right? Something that ends the curse of
Challenge
Dale Arnold.
Extra shredding, Phil. Extra shredding.
My fingers are going to be bleeding by the time I'm done.
Nice.
All right, man. Really, Vincent, you were the best. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
He was pissed that we were laughing about it, and he thinks
it's true. Don't you mock the curse of Dale Arnold. Don't you mock it. It's real. All right. Let's go to – all right. You know what?
You got to do it. Come on. You got to do it.
This is going to be interesting. A guy that, you know, usually is calling in screaming, and he's in a great mood. But to be quite honest, it's vulnerable moments like this that make the man interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, on line two, the guy that usually you see going around town in roller skates with a giant Bruins flag, one of the biggest Bruins fans. You saw him on the broadcasts. Xanadu, line two, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling horrible. This is just not a fun time. I feel like Ty Anderson and I should just swap war stories and see who has it worse. I think he does. I'll give it to him. But I just hate this every year, and it's always got to be the pause. Forget Tuca, forget everything else. It's just got to be the 4 months off that just robbed us at the end of this championship window.
Yeah, and it's weird.
I'm just screaming, and I can't even do it.
Yeah. Well, listen, you sound – this is – yeah, I can hear you. This is definitely – I mean, if you're going to lose – it's better to do it now than the way they did it last year. Like, when we had you on last year, I was genuinely worried about you. Like, I mean, you were, and it was the crappiest way. Obviously, Game 7 is, you never want to lose then. But you sound like almost you've gotten used to this losing thing, Xanadu.
Well, last year, I say when Fred Tutcher is concerned for your personal safety, that's when you know that you've hit a new low.
No, and we were all concerned, Fred.
I do appreciate that. I try to record stuff for you, but me sitting in the corner mumbling, why didn't Torrey Krug move him out of the way? Why didn't Torrey Krug move him out of the way? Yeah. Why didn't they just play like that for the whole series? If they had played like that game five for the entire series, we would have at least had fun, but no, they no-showed until the end, and they can hang their hats proud on that final game, and at least they give us that. But if they had just done that all series, we would have at least had a good time.
I know. That pissed me off, too, because you're watching them play, especially in that first overtime, and you're like, my God, where has this team been? And Halak, you know, obviously, you can't no one expected him to be a magic man, but last night he gave them everything he got, which was, I mean, more than you needed to win. They just needed to score. And it's been one of these things where I've been frustrated, obviously, with the way they've been playing. But yesterday, I don't know. And maybe the way that Halak played gives you a little bit of a better taste in your mouth when it's all done. But it just depressed me when they talked about Chara being gone and all that. So, I don't know, man. Xanadu, I feel you this morning. I was worried about you. I'm not worried about you this time like I was last year. Last year was legitimately concerned.
I'm feeling better. You know, it was earlier in the COVID, like I accepted it, and like I kind of said, okay, there was no excuse for last year. This year, they at least have an excuse. Not the best excuse, but one you can look and just say, all right, we'll deal with that. And as for Chara, I look up to that man. Everyone does.
We have to.
And I just lose. I know, right? Losing him just hurts. I actually have lessons I build around Zdeno Chara.
Wait, like, well, just, what? How do you do that?
I do a whole bunch of stuff about triangles and geometry, number 33, three sides, three angles, triangle. I got this whole thing about Chara, and I don't know what I'm going to do if we lose him, but I guess we could use the retired number little thing. But just Chara is a cornerstone. I'm going to miss him more than the Patriots fans are missing Brady. I guarantee it, because that man is just a pillar of this community.
All right. Well, Xanadu, appreciate you checking in. Good to hear from you, as always. But you know what? No matter what Xanadu says, and no matter how he talks about what they should have done and when they should have done it, or which players should have moved who out of the way, or whether or not, you know, Tuca should have been there, or anything like that, we all know that this entire thing was completely out of our control because fate had already been set into motion because of one sole reason.
Hi, this is Katherine Tappan, star of Nessun.
Star of Nessun.
Everything is awesome.
Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the
Cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold.
Backhander, Cutterbix, and Thomas rebound score. Joel Ward on the follow-up bid wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
The Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup. Shoots, they score! Victor Hedman wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime.
Of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Dan O'Brien just said in my headset, he thinks that possibly tonight was supposed to be Motley Crue. Oh, at Fenway. No.
Was it this past week? I'm sorry, Rich.
End of August. That's right. So, like, today's
September 1st.
Kill me. I know.
And I've been off for a couple of days, so I've been.
I mean, this is this year. So, right. Yeah, this past week would have been at Fenway. You would have had Motley Crue and Def Leppard twice. And
Green,
then you would have
Green Day
and, like, Weezer and all that. I mean, and this summer, I mean, it's the lost summer of great concerts. There were going to be so many good shows. I think Jimmy Eat World was this past week. Pet Shop Boys.
I would have gone.
It was supposed to be New Order and Pet Shop Boys. You're telling me I wouldn't go to that? I'd go shirtless. So this is, we're going to take a quick break from the Bruins just for a moment because something really funny happened yesterday involving Bill Belichick, which you don't say often. But I want to get your read on how you interpret this. Okay, so Bill Belichick was doing a radio interview and he was asked, now, first of all, this is the Bill Belichick who yesterday would not comment on who is going to be the starting quarterback for this team. He was asked point blank on, hey, can you name a starting quarterback? And this is what Belichick said.
Different lines of questioning. The first is just how close do you feel you might be to naming a starting quarterback at this point?
Yeah, when we're ready to do it, we'll do it.
Okay, so that's his answer. Go get your shine box.
By the way, listen to the show yesterday. I just about nailed it. Just about nailed what he was going to say.
I think he did almost, say, go get your shine box.
Almost exact.
Yeah, he essentially told Mike Reese once again, because he likes to do that to Mike Reese. Yeah. He just abuses him. But not just him, but everyone else. But he told him to basically go get the shine box. And which makes this
get Dale's box that he's in.
Listen, we can stop digging on Dale now.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
Even though I know John wants, he's egging you on to continue to do this, because John could rip on Dale Arnold all show long, because there's nothing that makes John happier than when we rip on Dale Arnold. But so with that, all of that, him saying, oh, we don't really know who the starting quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. Bill Belichick was asked yesterday about Cam Newton. Now, what would you normally think he would say about a guy who is, you know, in camp right now, has not played a game yet for the team? You know, you can imagine in your head a typical Bill Belichick answer. What Bill Belichick gave yesterday was not a typical Bill Belichick answer.
He's an extremely hard worker. Nobody works harder than Cam does. He's here early, he stays late, and he works very hard. You know, some players like to work on things that they're good at. You know, like if you're strong on the bench press and you just keep throwing more weight on the bench. But Cam's the type of player that, you know, works on things that he's not as good at and really tries to improve. on a daily basis. And that's something that I really respect about him. Like, that's not easy for players, really any of us, to do. Is something, look at something that we don't feel like we're very good at, or it's not one of our strengths, and to put extra time into it when he's worked extremely hard in all those areas. You know, he's got a great personality, you know, very social, and has a great, you know, presence, and he's highly competitive. He's very, very competitive on the field. He always wants to do his best and do better than the guys competing against. And I think there are different degrees of it. And, you know, it looks like based on what I've seen, I would put him in the, you know, top echelon of that. But his competition extends way beyond the field.
Oh, wow. My God. Were you going to take his pants off at any point? What just happened there? I haven't heard... What, is Cam Newton all of a sudden a punter? I haven't heard him talk that good about...
Is he Johnny Hecker of the Rams? Like, is he Mark Bavaro? Oh, my Lord.
Like, when has he talked about his own player that wasn't retiring or wasn't, like, you know, injured? Like, I mean, that's something that you say when, you know, someone's going in the, you know, the Patriot, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, the Hall of Fame. That's that. You say something like that for that. This is a dude that's on your team right now and your quarterback, and I can't figure out if that's a bigger middle finger to Tom Brady or Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, because, it's Brady. No, it's Brady.
Because the way he's talking about it, just like, this guy just wants to be more.
That's a middle finger to Brady. I mean, and Brady was well-renowned for his work ethic, but in the last 4 or 5 years, he gave up that coveted parking spot.
Yeah.
You know, he spent his off seasons on the West Coast with his wife. It was obvious Brady had bigger priorities in mind.
Well, you know why this is happening, right? The guy makes no money.
Well,
he's going to praise the guy for taking $1.5 million.
No.
That's not Bill.
Price has nothing to do with it.
Oh, no. Bill Belichick busts everyone's chops.
Has nothing. I disagree. It has nothing to do with the amount of money that Cam Newton is earning. It has everything to do with the quarterback he has now compared to the quarterback he's had to deal with for the last 3 or 4 years.
I don't know, man.
Okay. So
Newton's there. He's there every day. He's there early. I mean, I guess it was Devin McCourty who they asked, you know, walk by Newton's locker at 5:30 or 6 in the morning. The locker's open. He's there. I mean, the work ethic is the main thing that Belichick is driving home. Here's a quarterback who's here early in the morning, willing to learn, working on his weaknesses, doing all the things we ask of him, and his presence goes beyond the field, as opposed to a guy who, yes, is the best quarterback in the history of the game, but wasn't here early the last 3 or 4 years, wasn't doing everything that I wanted him to do.
Okay, so the timing of this is a little suspicious. I mean, obviously, you know, not just with Brady being gone, but so this past week, a brand new book came out, The Dynasty. It's this guy named Jeff Benedict. He wrote like a Tiger Woods kind of tell-all book, and he did a bunch of digging on the relationship between Brady and Belichick, which, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that's been dug up before, but there's some nuggets that I have not heard. And you have to wonder who he's getting this from. So they talk about how after the Eagles loss, that's when, you know, the rift really started. And remember, that was kind of the ball rolling. You know, Malcolm Butler, everyone was questioning why. And, you know, for the first time, there was this very public... Yeah, I think that the Seth Wickersham article might have come out right around then, right? Wasn't it just before that?
I'm trying to remember.
It just got worse afterwards. So basically the ball was rolling on people reporting about there being a rift between that. So they talked about after that was done, this is according to, he sat down with Tommy Curran, the guy who wrote this book, said owner Robert Kraft called several meetings following the loss to the Eagles in an attempt to clear the air. One of them involved Brady's wife, Giselle. According to Benedict, Giselle spoke up for Brady during a meeting at Kraft's house weeks after the 2018 Super Bowl. Belichick was not present, but Giselle told Kraft she and Brady were sick of Belichick treating the quarterback like effing Johnny Foxborough. Giselle said it was bad enough that Belichick refused to voice approval for Brady, but even worse, that he still unloaded on him during meetings and gave him a hard time with Guerrero. At that point, Benedict says Brady and Giselle informed Kraft that they wanted to move on. So this is from the book itself. It says, quote, when the conversation shifted to the future, Brady and Bunchen indicated that it was time for them to make some changes that were in the best interest of their family. Among other things, they were contemplating a change of scenery. Kraft wasn't surprised by their feelings towards Belichick. He hadn't, however, expected to hear that Brady and Bunchen wanted to leave New England. Now, this was after that Eagles Super Bowl. They said another interesting piece of information from the book was that Kraft assured Brady in 2010 that he would step in if Belichick wanted to get rid of Brady. Brady feared at the time that Belichick might part ways with him like he has with so many other key veteran players, so he wanted assurances from Kraft before signing an extension. When Brady expressed a desire to leave in 2018, Kraft told him he was not going to let him out of his contract. The Pats owner then changed his mind and told Brady he could go if he wanted. Brady, after hearing that Belichick wanted him back, chose to stay. He said that he would work things out on his own end, which is around the time he stopped showing up to voluntary off-season workouts. So, I mean, that Giselle thing is interesting. So all of this just ended up, like, you know, like that part's interesting. But to now hear Belichick just go way out of his way, I mean, like ridiculously out of his way, to just undress Cam Newton.
Think about this for a second, Rich. What was the story where, it was Kyle Love, a former Patriots defensive lineman, played with Cam Newton in Carolina. He was the guy that said, you know, Ron Rivera wouldn't even talk to Newton after bad performances. He would leave him alone, he was fragile mentally. And we were debating whether or not Newton was ready to be treated like one of the guys, to get lit up in front of the rest of his team, considering the kid gloves approach that Ron Rivera gave him. It seems to me that he's adapted to it. It seems to me that this is Belichick saying, you know what? I'm throwing stuff at Newton. I'm calling him out. I'm saying that he's not doing well, and he's responding. He's working on his weaknesses. I mean, this is one of those marriages. And honestly, don't forget, the Patriots have that franchise tag available. If Newton goes out and lights it up and the Patriots win 10, 11, 12 games, he'll be on the franchise tag next season, too.
That was just a whiplash moment hearing that yesterday. I was like, all right. Well, message delivered. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even trying to be, like, subtle. Like, that was just like, dude, F you. That was, like, double Freedom Rockets, as big as you could do them right there. That was standing on the back of a pickup truck while launching fireworks right towards Tom Brady. So, God bless you, Bill Belichick. Let's hope it all works out. All right, 617-779-0985. We got a bunch of Bruins to talk about, but real quick, we got to check in with one of our good friends of the show, because today is indeed a day where you need to vote. Vermin Supreme. He's the guy who likes to pee on the anthill a little bit. He gets in there. He's got his boot on his head. You've seen him disrupt many a convention. He's funny as hell, and we love him. And he said, hey, listen, can I come on? I said, sure, you can come on for a few minutes. So we will have him on right after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub. This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My name is Vermin. My name is Vermin. Vermin Supreme. My name is Vermin. My name is Vermin. My name is Vermin. Vermin, Vermin Supreme. And you can vote. And you can vote. And you can vote for me for president if you want to. And my name is Vermin. And, okay. Thanks very much for coming out today. Oh, one more thing. Jesus told me to make Randall Terry gay with magic sprinkled
up. Okay, thank you, Mr. Supreme. Thank you. All right.
He's turning gay.
98.5 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich and Vermin Supreme. You've seen him on television all over the place lately during this election season. A gentleman who I actually don't know what platform he's standing for this year, but I know that he's a man who wears a boot on his head. Has a beard like a wizard, came in studio for Super Tuesday with a debate against the great Love 22.
It's a pony platform, if I remember correctly, Rich.
I think that everyone deserves a pony. It was part of it. But listen, things change. Times change.
Ponies are for now and for always.
If you need to keep up with the times, you need to change your ways and maybe your stance on a few things, as Vermin Supreme would know. And listen, when Vermin reaches out and says, I want to come on the show, you say yes. Today is the primary, and Vermin, I believe is either on the ticket or just wants you to write in his name. Vermin Supreme, good morning.
Hello there, Turner and Hooch. It's a pleasure to be here today. I wanted to thank you for coming on to be able to debate Ed Malarkey and Joseph Cantati and Dr. Shever and the other one. Is John Kelleher there?
No. John Keller was here for the Super Tuesday debate, which was one of the more surreal debates we had.
That's one of the best pieces of radio we've ever done.
Oh, it was great. It was very strange.
It was a lot of fun.
It was.
Is Ed Malarkey there? Is Joseph? Is Joe Cantati there or no? Or Dr. Shever says he invented email, but I invented the Pony Express. That's notable.
Okay, so what? I don't even know. Like, what are you? Like, are you running? Because you're usually a New Hampshire guy. Are you? You want people to write your name in Massachusetts? Is that what's going on?
That is correct, sir. I am running on the Libertarian ticket as a write-in. I discovered one of my supporters showed me that ballot selfie. And apparently the Libertarian ballot, which you can get if you are a Libertarian or an Independent, is completely blank. So you can write in for every position. And I thought to myself, you know, I bet I could win that race. Now, if I have to get, you know, so I have high hopes. Now, I know many of you are wondering what we've been doing since that 2016 election when we had that great debate with Love 22. And, of course, I was elected president. And I brought America to complete prosperity. And I prevented Tom Brady from leaving New England by putting him under house arrest. As you may remember, I made him my running mate. However, unfortunately, all that occurred in a parallel dimension, not this one. There has been a small tear in the time-space continuum. But don't you worry, I have very smart scientists, the smartest scientists, working 24/7, day and night, in the past, in the present, and the future. And I have high hopes that we will return to a Vermin Supreme presidency very shortly.
Okay, so Vermin Supreme, what platforms are you running on this year? Because you had the free pony for everyone for a while. What's your big ticket thing you're going for this year?
Well, because Massachusetts is a very important state to me, as you know, and Maine was once upon a time part of Massachusetts. I'm hoping to take back Maine. I believe the great state of Massachusetts needs room for expansion. We have to expand our tax base. And so I believe taking over and taking back Maine will do just that. Now, of course, I'm also looking into the technology of somehow flipping Massachusetts over. Because right now, Cape Cod and Cape Ann and Boston, they are on the East Coast, and the other part of Massachusetts, the West part, is over there. So I'm hoping to flip the entire state over. And what this will do is bring Boston a lot closer to New York, number one, and also bring Springfield and Lee and all those beautiful cities a lot closer to the Atlantic Ocean. They'd be so much closer to the beach.
Well, I've never thought about that. It's brilliant. If you just flip it, then, you know, there's all these people who have been deprived a little trip to the coast, you know, a little weekend trip. They could just do that right there without even having to worry about it. Now, will they still get your dental plan that you've been talking about? Wasn't there something having to do with like teeth? What was the deal with that?
Well, sir, yes, of course. I've been a very strong dental advocate for many years. The mandatory toothbrushing law is indeed the number one piece of legislation that I would indeed hope to accomplish if the great people of the great state of Massachusetts do send me forward. Of course, gingivitis has been eroding the gum line of this great nation of ours for long enough and must be stopped. For too long, this country has been suffering a great oral and moral decay in spirit and in incisors. A country's future depends on its ability to bite back. We can no longer be a nation indentured. Our very salivation is at stake. So won't you bite the bullet, brace yourselves as we cross over the bridgework into the 23rd century. May we become a sea of shiny, smiling, smiling, shiny, 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 smiling, 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 shiny, 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 shiny faces. From sea to shining sea.
Okay, Vermin Supreme, in all seriousness, you are somebody who pisses off a lot of people. As a matter of fact, there's probably some candidates that you've run against. One of the things that you like to do is you like to show up at any rallies and things that they have and get out the bullhorn. What's like the... Like, any of these guys that you're like running against, like how pissed off do they get Like, has there been something recently where you've been running against somebody and they've gotten fairly pissed and had to, you know, send somebody to get in your face?
Generally, the politicians themselves are very politic. They usually know what's up, and they realize that they're sort of in a no-win situation. If I get close enough to the candidate, they're usually okay. You know, that was included Ted Cruz and Chris Christie in 2016. Great videos. If you type in Vermin Supreme and those names, it's the campaign staff. It's the people who work for the candidates who do their best to block, if you will. You know, let's say they are actively attempting to prevent me from accessing the candidate. And in fact, during the 2020 primary, it was Elizabeth Warren, interestingly enough, that whose staff gave me the most abusive treatment in terms of physically attempting to prevent me from accessing Liz Warren.
So what were you doing? Like, I mean, was it because I'm not quite sure what you were doing, so I don't know whether or not, you know, maybe it was justified. It sure doesn't sound like it. But what were you doing and what did they do?
Well, once again, of course, my MO, if you will, is to attempt to get as close as I can to the candidate in order to ask them a stupid question. That is primarily my stock and trade. And that's a part of my bit for many years. And
so, yes.
Essentially, yes, I pose no physical threat. But on the other hand, I will point out that because I use humor and satire, that I am sort of have a license to be a little bit more aggressive and forward than a normal person might. If a normal person was approaching a candidate with my level of zest and joy and love, it would be even more scary. It would be even more scary. But because I'm generally a known quantity as a wacky, crazy, satirical candidate who's going to get up in their face just a bit, they're usually good. They're usually prepared because, you know, if they, especially up in New Hampshire, they oftentimes are ready with an answer. Of course, when I asked Chris Christie if he supported free ponies for all Americans, he told me that he hated free ponies. That was after coming in support of toothbrushing. Later on, I asked for a clarification. Why do you hate ponies, Chris Christie? And he responded, he did not hate ponies, just free ponies. You have to earn. You have to earn your pony.
He was on the free cheeseburger platform. All right. So if you could, just to wrap things up, Vermin, if you could say anything to the voters today to get you to write their name down, what would it be, there, Vermin?
This is the most important election of our lifetime. The people of Massachusetts want somebody who will be bringing home the pork, bringing home the bacon. And let me tell you this. If I am the senator for Massachusetts, I will pass legislation that makes bacon another food group, the most important food group. And I will be the candidate that will be bringing home the bacon. On a related note, did you know that Massachusetts is the only state in the union that actually has a mandatory toothbrushing law? It's true. In pre-K, educators must assist their children brushing their teeth. It's true. It's crazy, but it's true. Also, of course, the black-capped chickadee. I'd like to shout out to the Massachusetts state bird. I'd like to shout out to the American elm, the state tree, and, of course, the state flower, the trailing arbutus. I don't even know what that looks like. Do you?
Vermin Supreme, is Dale Arnold the reason that the Bruins lost the Stanley Cup again this year?
I have a feeling. And also on a related note, I was thinking we could make sports safe again. Have you ever seen those big plastic bubbles that you can get that you can like be inside?
Sure. Yeah. Like they got the bubble thing where I got that. Yeah.
Could we somehow give those to all the football players on the field and have them run up and down in their own individual bubbles? I know they've tried this bubble idea in the NBA, but what about personal bubbles for all the players?
Well, maybe you give them to the Red Sox. It would make them at least halfway entertaining this season, so that would be good. All right, well, Vermin Supreme, you, sir, are somebody that when you call in and say you want to come on, of course, you are always welcome. Good luck today. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be out and about?
Like I say, write me in on the ballot. I am all over. Together, we will ride our ponies into a zombie-powered future, my fellow Americans.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Vermin Supreme. Thank you for coming on with us. I'm getting tweets here. So many questions. Can you follow up on the logistics of Vermin's plan to retake Maine? Is it like a armed takeover, internal sabotage, a blockade?
I'd be interested in that.
I was just going to say,
not the armed takeover.
You have to cross over that thin strip of New Hampshire to get there, though.
No, that would be part of it. You would just take that, too.
Oh, okay.
Just
take that with right, you, man. So we're taking two states. All right.
And then you're all set.
It's like a 12-mile stretch, John.
I know. It's not much.
Seabrook to Kittery.
That would be nice. All right. Well, let's talk about the Bruins. 617-779-0985.
Let's quickly go back to reality.
That's right. Happy voting day. There you go. Furman Supreme. All right. We'll get to your Bruins calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hedman shoots, blocked up top by Nordstrom. Near point, Braden Point. High slot, Shattenkirk. Near circle, Hedman shoots, they score! Victor Hedman with Patrick Maroon screening out in front. Wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime. And the Lightning down the Bruins in 5 games in the second round.
Johnny and Five, the Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. John Wallach, Joe Murray in studio, and all right, so looking back and doing a postmortem on this season, right now there's two things that, looking back, piss me off about how things went. And it's because I think that these are two things that were easily avoidable that truly affected how this team performed after the break. Number one, the dud that they put out there at the trade deadline. I mean, Andre Kasha, Nick Ritchie, that didn't work out. And you take a look at what the Lightning did. They brought in two guys that sure as hell did, and Blake Coleman and Goodrow. So, I mean, there were moves to be made, and the Bruins didn't. I mean, it was a dud, a massive dud. Nick Ritchie was a liability, and Andre Kasha never got his stuff together and never found the chemistry. Number two, Kasha and Pasternak's issues upon returning. Like, those two things could have been avoided. The Pasternak one's just him being an idiot. Like, that was idiotic, the way that he acted when he got back into town, and there were pictures of him all over the place. I mean, he needed to get his feet back under, you know, underneath him, and that's something that I think is unforgivable. And the Kasha stuff, I mean, you know, we've talked to Ty Anderson about this. No one knows exactly what was going on, but we do know that according to, it sounds like Ty Anderson was saying, I mean, Kasha should have at least come back earlier. And especially for a guy that had gotten how many games under his belt with this team before the break? Six?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Of all the players that needed more time on the ice to get some sort of chemistry, it was Andre Kasha. And from everything I'm hearing, like, he was available to come back earlier. Like, I mean, everything that happened in the way, it was because once he got here, there were all of the issues. But he could have at least started that whole adventure he was on 2 to 3 weeks earlier than he did. And that part of it pisses me off. Like, those things right there, the bad trade deadline deals and the Kasha and Pasternak issues upon return, those are two. Now, would they have won this series without? I don't know. But I do know that maybe there was a chance that they could have done something.
I don't think specifically talking about the Pasternak and Kasha issues coming back, that had no bearing on the series they just played.
You don't think that Kasha could have benefited from getting some sort of chemistry with these guys and spending more time skating with
them? By all accounts, the second he stepped in, he was fine.
All right. How many goals did he score?
I don't know.
Zero.
Well,
zero.
I don't think that Andre Kasha is not a 30-goal scorer. He's playing on the second line because there was nobody else.
And they got him why?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
To score.
Well,
because
no.
the second line was a major issue, and that was a big part of
it. If you took a look at his numbers in Anaheim this year, that guy wasn't on his way to scoring 30 goals. They got him as a throw-in so that they could unload Backes' contract. As a matter of fact, they had to give Anaheim Backes and a first-rounder just to unload that contract, and Anaheim's like, well, we'll give you Kasha in return. Kasha wasn't skating on the top line in Anaheim. I mean, they got him as a throw-in.
Oh, if you put him on the second line next to Krejci, there is an expectation that you are going to score.
Not nearly as much as you're giving him credit for. Now, zero is a fat number, but the fact that Kasha struggled to come back has no bearing on whether or not the Bruins are going to win this series. You can't say, well, Kasha underperformed. If he had performed better, the Bruins would have won. That's not true.
I think it could have made a little bit of a difference.
The bigger difference was Rask not being... Rask would have stolen you a game, and you would have lost four games to two.
Kasha score. That was their problem.
And you can't blame Kasha for that.
Why not? He's a second-line guy. So
take a look at your top-line guys. Take a look at Patrice Bergeron. How many goals did he score in the series?
That's a problem, too.
Take a look at Jake DeBrusque. How many goals did he score last night?
Listen, Jake DeBrusque is Jake DeBrusque, all right? And by the way, he won you a game the other
night. How many goals did the people on the third line score? The scoring problems go way behind Andre Kasha. Yeah. Kasha is not a second-line forward on a Stanley Cup-winning team.
Well,
He's not.
They expected him to be. So, once again, then go back to number one, my number one issue, a dud at the trade deadline.
Fine, but I agree with you there. I don't agree with you on the Kasha thing at all.
I just looking back, those are there's certain things like, all right, Chara slower, I get it. And as I said, the Tuukka Rask thing, family, I understand it. It sucks that it happened, but I get it. But the two things that I think that they could have controlled that would have at least made this better, and maybe things wouldn't have ended the way that they did, are those two. Like, that's the two things I can look back on.
Sure. They whiffed big at the trade deadline. Absolutely. Yes.
Yep. They absolutely did. All right. Will Brinson, he's going to join us and talk a little bit about that whole Bill Belichick, Cam Newton. I'd love to get his opinion on this. And, hey, look at that. Both of our teams are not playing in the playoffs now. His Carolina, and now the Bruins are out as well. So no commercials, just the headlines with Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.